Now it's really difficult to follow two acts. Would you please join me in prayer? Risen Lord, we bring to you our pain, our confusion, our hope, and our joy. Help us to trust that you are all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-caring. Amen. Today's reading is from Luke 20, chapter 24, verses 1 through 11. But on the first day of the week, at the early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look at the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Karen. We are starting a new sermon series looking at the way to life. And starting next week, we'll have some devotionals if you want to practice these things, not just on Sunday, but on Tuesday or Wednesday as well. Or you can go on the sermons tab of our webpage, and it's available there for download. But this series reminds me of my faith journey in college. I was studying computer science, but I had been programming computers for over 10 years by then, so it was mostly not new information. Studying didn't take up a lot of my time. I had all the time in the world. I had a job as the head programmer of a mid-sized company, so I had plenty of disposable income. And when I combined loads of free time with lots of expendable income, I found the most boring era of my life. Because when I just lived for myself, I wasn't truly alive. I was a bland cardboard cutout of my former self. And it was only when I reconnected with my faith that I rediscovered purpose and vitality for my life. And so in this series, we're looking at various ways we can practice our faith and how those practices lead us to new life. Our second reading today comes from the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy. "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God." Well, it was many years ago. It was on Halloween, and that guy was ruining it for everyone. When you go to a haunted house, you generally expect to be scared, right? That's kind of the point of going there. But this guy was being the "I'm too tough to be scared" guy, probably trying to impress the girl attached to his arm. But if you've ever been through a haunted house with that guy, you know that it kind of ruins everyone else's fun as well. And at this particular haunted house, my dad was scheduled to be the last scary stop along the way. He had a chainsaw that he was supposed to scare people with. The teeth were removed, but you couldn't really tell that in the dark with a strobe light going on. And my dad had heard about that guy coming, and he decided to take matters into his own hands. He waited for the whole group to pass by, never appeared, never turned on his chainsaw, and that guy was last coming out with the girl on his arm. My dad snuck up behind him, took the chainsaw, stuck it between his legs, and went, "Rawr!" For some reason, that guy dance sprinted out of there, shrieking at the top of his lungs. Very impressive to his girlfriend, I'm sure. Now, when you go to a haunted house, you expect to be scared. In the Easter text we read today, the women went to the tomb expecting to find death, expecting to find Jesus dead in the tomb. But that's not what they found. Instead, they found these two men in dazzling clothes. The text says that was scarier than a chainsaw between your legs. They were terrified. They fell down out of fear. They expected to find death. But these two men in dazzling clothes told them they should have expected to find life, that Jesus was raised from the dead just as he had previously foretold. And the other text I read today from the Old Testament, that was an expectation buster too. I mean, when I was in high school, I was trying to take my faith seriously. And what's like the big summary of how we're supposed to live? Ten Commandments, right? That's a good summary of what it means to follow God. And the Ten Commandments are basically a collection of things we are supposed to not do. So I thought Christianity was mainly about restraining my impulses, removing things from my life, having a checklist of things to avoid, things that I had to have die in my life. But in this text, that's not what God says. He says, "I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life." So our faith isn't about death. It's about life. When you came here this morning, what did you expect to find? Before you got here this morning, how did you expect to feel at the end of worship? By way of contrast, have you ever been to a big concert? You know, they always have the opening acts, so we're gonna fast forward past the opening acts. They're always boring anyway. And then you get to the singer or the group that you went there to see, and they come out on stage. Do you remember that moment? Did the crowd start cheering? Were you on the edge of your seat, ready for the experience? That's kind of like what the early church was like when they came to worship on Sunday. Because they expected to hear from the living God. They expected that God would do something in their midst. They expected to find purpose for the rest of their week. They expected God to show up. And that as a result, they would be somehow different. They did not expect to be bored. They didn't expect their Sunday morning to be a meaningless time. No, they expected their Sunday morning to be the most meaningful time of their entire week. They expected life when they came to worship. And if worship is the most meaningful part of the week, then Easter has to be the most meaningful day of the year. I am a geek in general, but I am a space geek in particular. And if scientists found evidence of microbial life on Mars or Europa, it would be the biggest news of our lifetimes. But the good news of Easter far surpasses that. I mean, if they discovered those microorganisms on Mars, would that change your daily life? Only if you're an exobiologist, and I don't know how many of those we have in here. But before Easter, there were some Jews who had a theory that there was life after death, that death wasn't the end of the line. But when Jesus rose again, that theory was confirmed. And that good news affects every human on the planet. Since I'm a space geek, we'll also be inclusive and say everyone orbiting the planet right now, too. It affects us because everyone dies. But thanks to Easter, we know that is not the end of their story. And that changes everything. I mean, if you know that you are guaranteed your personal story, the last chapter isn't death, but life. How does that affect things? When you're suffering, does it give you hope to know that suffering isn't the writing on the last page? When you are feeling blessed, does it excite you to know that your blessings today don't hold a candle to the blessings God has in store for you? That certainly gives me hope. But I think we also have another hope through Jesus. Because elsewhere, Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it to the fullest. In other words, we should expect life after death, but we should also expect life now. We should expect to hear from the living God. We should expect to find purpose and passion in our faith. We should be able to expect life today. So what do you expect from your faith? What did you expect when you come to worship? What do you expect? Do you expect to hear from the living God? To be more alive? To capture a clearer glimpse of your purpose? Those are all valid expectations. But I guess the question is how? How is worshiping Jesus going to make me feel more alive? How will worshiping Jesus help me catch a clearer glimpse of my purpose? How am I going to hear from the living God? And that's where I find the stories, the various stories of Jesus after his resurrection to be very fascinating. Because the women in our text today that we read, they were on their way to serve. They went to properly anoint Jesus' body after death. Serving was their thing. And through their service, they found life. Right after this text in Luke, Jesus appears to two of the disciples who were doing their thing. They were walking and talking with good friends. Through their relationships, they found life. Another time, Jesus appears after the disciples were fishing. Through their fishing, they found life. And still another time, Jesus appears when they were studying Scripture. Through their study of the Bible, they found life. So what is life-giving for you? Is it hiking? Is it biking? Fishing? Building? Friendships? Study? Music? God made you in a particular way. He made you to resonate with some of those activities, and he made you that way so that he could talk to you through them. One of the best ways to hear from the living God is by listening to him while you're doing something life-giving, because he made you that way. Brother Lawrence was a monk in France in the 1600s, and he found that God spoke to him quite frequently whenever he was doing the dishes in the kitchen. Whenever he did this common business, nothing so grand, nothing great, just doing the dishes every day. Whenever he did that with the love of God in his mind, God spoke to him over the dirty dishes. And because he found God in the kitchen, he found God even more strongly on Sunday as well. He expected life, and he found it. Sisters and brothers, Easter is the most life-altering news ever, because it means that death isn't the end. That doesn't just affect exobiologists studying Mars. That affects us all. We should expect life. But that expectation isn't limited to life after death. It also applies today. Our faith isn't meant to make us deader to the world. It's meant to make us more alive. It's meant to turn us into the best versions of ourselves, the version that God created you to be, because that's how he wired you, and that's life. So how can you listen for the living God in the midst of life-giving things? How can you set aside whatever is actually making you more dead inside? How can you expect life this week? We can expect it, because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.